this church. Letting them go and have a good time in the Word of God on their level. And while Bible study is on our mind, those of you that are newcomers, been here going to church here a year or less, you've got your name signed on the piece of paper. I believe it's on the table in that foyer right there. If you don't have your name on that, get your name on that. And Bible studies will begin this coming Sunday at 5 o'clock. Amen. And Brother Mike Yontz will be teaching that. Unfortunately, Brother Yontz is sick in his body tonight, can't be here. Let's pray. Continue to pray for him. But he will be here Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Just good, almost like 101 questions answered and Bible study that you'll be going through to help you acclimate to what we preach and what we teach from the Word of God here at Landmark. You will love it and you'll like it. Praise God. All right. And then all of us that remain. I started to tell you we should have known that God was going to give us a miracle with that fire hydrant. I don't think he wants anything down here that can put a fire out. Right? We're on fire. Amen. All right. Let's look at Genesis 19, verse number 22. And the whole story and the whole scenario here is a good story to read. And those of you that are going by and picking up your new bread chart off the table out there, you'll be in this story before long. But the Bible, where the Word of God speaks and says, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until you come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. It was just Zoar literally means little. And it was just a little city, but it was a city where Lot could find refuge. And the Lord said, I can't do anything until you come thither. In other words, Lot, I want to protect you. I want to take care of you. I don't want you destroyed. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. And do a study on that, and you'll find out it was because of homosexuality. And that's where the word sodomy came from. And understand that the Lord will destroy sin. What we don't want to happen here at Landmark is for the sinner to be destroyed with the sin. And he looked at Lot, and he said, I'm not going to do anything until you're taken care of. Why did he do that? Let's talk about it. And so just for the sake of a title, let's call it Bound by Abraham. Bound by Abraham. Would you pray for me tonight and ask the Lord to help me deliver this word? Master, we do call upon your name. I'm about to deliver the most precious, most powerful and pertinent thing that you gave to us. And that is the Word of God. I ask for your assistance. I pray deeply for your anointing. And I ask you, Lord, to let us walk in the Holy Ghost. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to perceive. Give us passion, Lord, to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. The Lord told Lot, I can't do anything until you're safe. The very first thing I want for you, buddy, is to be safe, and then I'm going to destroy this place. Historians have found where Sodom and Gomorrah were. Its ruins lie beneath the Dead Sea. And it's dead because there's so much salt content. I think the only thing that can live in that kind of body of water is brine. And that is a very tiny, miniature shrimp. It's the shrimp that they use to dry and use for fish food. You sprinkle that, that's what that is. And that's where that came from. But that's where they found the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Salt, salt everywhere. Wonder what that's all about. Since his wife did turn to a pillar of salt when she looked back. But scientists said that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed in a fashion that it was almost as if a huge atom bomb went off. It was an instant flame and an instant fire, and it destroyed all of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot and his girls were preserved, and they were saved from that devastation. Amen. Let's look at Genesis 18 and verse number 12. Therefore Sarah, the Bible said, laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? In other words, the angel of the Lord walked right up to Abraham's camp and said, your wife's going to have a child. And within the tent, where she thought nobody could hear her, and even laughing on the inside, the angel of the Lord said, what's your wife laughing at it for? Scared her. She said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yes, you did. And not thinking that the Lord could bless her in her old age. And so the angel said, your son will be born. And I want to say this. I want to say, and it's a truth, age does not come into play when it comes to desiring to do something for the glory of God. Now, if we could just get away from maybe what we desire and ask the Lord for his will, then maybe we won't spin our wheels. When God begins to develop and move and make, shape, and put into form, and we begin to see it, we need to pray over it and work it and believe God for it, regardless of what it is. Can you say amen? There is something for all to do, no matter what your age is. It's not time to give up. It's not time to give in. Especially when people have looked up to you and have respected you for many years. It's not time to change now. It's not time to shake all that loose and do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Regardless as to what you feel about yourself, there's always someone looking up to you and someone watching you and someone wanting to walk with Jesus just like you. Someone wanting to look like you, talk like you, and care like you. Amen. You may not believe that, but I'm telling you right now, you'll find out on the other side of this world that it's true. Amen. And so, but Sarah laughed about it. She thought it was a big joke. But it was no big joke. Amen. Isaac was born, wasn't he? Praise God. He said, your son will be born, letting us know that age doesn't come into play. In other words, you can't play with God because of your age. Lot called them brethren. When the angels went into the camp, they were so blinded spiritually that they couldn't, I don't know whether they could tell if they were angels or not. They still lusted after them. Now that's a sickening thing. And Lot said, brethren, don't do this. He still had faith for those kind of people. I have faith for all kinds of people because we're living in a time. And I'm going to share something with you right off of my cell phone that I got today from Canada. And maybe it'll make you snap to it just a little bit because it certainly did me. But God is preparing to save all manner of people. Listen, the election was no accident. We've said all along, God's got this thing under control. Now, why he would want Donald Trump in there, I don't know. But he's in there. Amen. Why it's been what it's been, I don't know. But it's been what it's been. What it's going to do, I'm not sure. But I know this, God's hand is in it. Amen. And so we need to be alive and alert, and we need to be regenerated, rejuvenated, and revived to the point that we are involved in this end time immediate play that God is involved in. Amen. So the angels came to Abraham. He fed them. They prophesied to Sarah. They told Abraham, the game plan is that, in other words, the angels told him everything's going to happen. I've shared that with you, and how that you're going to have a son and all of this. And Abraham threw a wrench into the machinery, especially when the angel said, we're on our way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, you are. And they said, yes, sir, that's what we're going to do. We're on our way. We've been sent. We're on a mission. We're going. We want to come by and tell you about your miracle. And then we're going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, now, wait a minute. I got a relative that lives there. Yeah. His wife lives there. Yeah. His two daughters are there. We know that. We're angels. And then Abraham kind of jammed their plans up, because he said, let me ask you something. He said, if there's 50 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you spare it? And all this connection with God while this was going on, the answer came back, sure, we'll spare it. And 50 couldn't be found, not even 50. And then he said, what was it, 45? Couldn't be found. Then he said 30 righteous people in that whole city couldn't be found. And then he said, if there's 20 that were found, would you spare some? Sure, spare it. Couldn't be found. If there's 10 that could be found, would you spare it? They said, sure. We won't destroy it. There's 10 that can be found righteous. Sodom and Gomorrah. When 10 couldn't be found, what happened? Somebody help me. The angels went forth. Ultimately, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Am I right? But have you ever asked yourself why it was destroyed? I know the sin thing, and I know the corruption thing, and the Lord looked upon it, and he decided, I'm just going to wipe it off the face of the earth, and I'll start all over again over there in that area. But he could have been stopped with 50, 45. He could have been stopped with 30, 20. He could have been stopped with 10. Here's my take on the situation. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because Abraham quit asking and he quit pleading and he quit interceding for that city. After 10, Abraham was done. Well, we know God saved 3. What if Abraham got down to 3? Now, I'm not talking about the Abraham of the Old Testament. But could we be the church that is keeping God from destroying and wiping out a people because we're praying for them? Could it be God gave that relative of yours that miracle because you prayed? I feel the Holy Ghost here. Could it be that they were spared because you prayed for them? Could it be that sickness will come back and they will pass away if you stopped? Because as soon as Abraham quit praying, Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed. And I know our thoughts can be something like, well, it needed to be destroyed anyway if God felt like it should. Sure it does. But so did I. but somebody prayed for me. Amen. I don't know who began doing that, but I'm just going to call them Abraham. And I thank God that day I was bound by Abraham. You were bound by Abraham. Who was the Abraham in your life? Who was the individual that reached out to you and brought you to the church? And who was the individual that gave you the ride? Who was the individual that convinced you, taught Bible study to you, or whoever? All of us can think of somebody or several somebodies in our lives that were that kind of influence. You were bound by your Abraham. How do you know that the very day that individual spoke to you about Jesus, that the Lord wasn't on his way and your time was up? And you exhausted all of your chances. But you were wrapped up in safety. And the Lord said, I'm not going to destroy anything around here until you're safe. Because they're praying for you. I guess you understand I'm teaching on soul winning here tonight. Amen. It is not enough to pray. But we've got to develop the stamina to get out there where they are and touch them. Now, a couple of things I want to show you this evening. I'm a little unorthodox here. But every now and then I'll text all our guys that have gone out from the church and started churches of their own. And I've got several other guys that want me to be their pastor. And I've got a gentleman that is a great man, has a great church. It's probably five times the size of our church. But he stays in touch. He wants me to stay in touch. And I sent it to him as well. But I said this. I said, hello, brethren, and Happy New Year. As we enter what I believe to be one of the most important and opportune years of our ministry, let us continue with great diligence to make souls our goals. My heart is heavy today for the lost. To weep is very easy at the moment. Let me share a thought that I feel each of you could make a message from. And I put it as a title, and I said, Mercy Needs a Face. I know that we spend as pastors a lot of time trying to encourage the church. We spend a lot of time trying to motivate you and keep you in here and keep you coming. And to keep you consistent. And to teach you why you need to give. And don't resent it. Don't get mad. Why you need to worship when we worship. And pray when we pray. Be here when we're... But we can't stay there all the time. A good percentage of the reason why an individual is going to be saved is because they're soul winners. Because they reach out to the lost. And that to God is a very, very important individual. Amen. You want something to do? Win somebody for the glory of God. Teach somebody a Bible study. Share the Word of God. Be their Abraham and bind destruction away from them. And make it to where the Lord says, I'm not going to destroy anything around here until you're saved. And I said, preach mercy needs a face. When Jesus was on this earth, there was mercy on his face. Now, the Bible said it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I told them, I said, our cities will come to his mercy if we can show them his face. Praise God. He didn't have resentment. He had no hate. He had no remorse for anybody. The only thing he did, and the only thing he was guilty of, is that he loved every individual on the face of this earth with every ounce of his being, no matter who they were. And if we could show this world that kind of face, then mercy will have a face again. Praise God. Praise God. One of the preachers from Canada, he sent me back this text. Hallelujah. He said, I won't share the response of what I shared with him, but this is what he said. He said, I heard that a prophecy was given recently in some meeting that there will be a 10-year open door of opportunity in America. And then that door will be closed quickly. And then he went on to say, I think your recent elections have something to do with that. If that is indeed a fact, we don't have a lot of time to get done what God wants to get done. And so, I want to bind this city with prayer. I want to bind you with prayer. I want to bind my family with prayer. I want to pray for everybody. I want to love everybody. I want to care about. I don't want it to be where I can't speak to my brother. I can't speak to my sister. That's not Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be able to care. And no matter who it is, I want to care for them. Because somewhere, somehow. Listen, have you ever had a prayer answered? Raise your hand. Praise God. I prayed my guts out before. Tears, screaming and hollering because I'm all by myself. And praying like an idiot. Believe in God. Have so much faith I could just run up the wall and take a bite out of the ceiling. And prayer never get answered. And then drive down the road. I'm not telling you how to pray. I pray all kinds of ways. I love to pray every kind of way. And I'll drive down the road and say, Lord, save that individual, that person on my mind. They could be living in another city. I said, Lord, let them be in church and be filled with the Holy Ghost. They need the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then that Sunday I get a call. I just got the Holy Ghost. So if you think that it's according to the individual that you're praying for where God's going to move, that's not true. You don't know where, you don't know when, and you do not know how. And I don't care what kind of prayer you have, it's prayer. It's conversation with God. And you don't have to feel anything to pray. But when you pray, God hears your prayer. And He will act upon that prayer. I've seen it too many times. What I'm asking you to do is get beyond the point to where we're trying to get you to be consistent churchgoers. Get beyond the point to where we're trying to get you to just worship God. Get beyond the point to where we're begging you to be in the prayer room before service and all that kind of. Let's go beyond those simple factors and let's be something for the glory of God. Let's be a people that can bind the enemy and bind the strongholds in this city and have apostolic revival. Praise God. Amen. So families and moms and dads that are God conscious and soul winners will save their families where there's no compromise and where there's total surrender. Let's stand together. Tried not to preach. Tried to teach. I hope something went out that got a hold of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your spirit. Listen, folks. I'm not making excuses for anything. I wish we were perfect. I wish we were so much more like Jesus. But until we get to that place, let's not hesitate to do something for God. Let's not hesitate to do something for God. Someone out there is as you were. Someone out there is as I was. I have the answer for people that were like me, because I went through it. You have the answer for people like you, because you went through it. Let's seek and find that which is lost, just like Who? Jesus. So we can be bound, and we can bind them with prayer. I want to be somebody's Abraham. Lord, I see the way they live. Lord, let me win them. Just let me, give me a chance. Give me the words to say. Let them open their heart, Lord, for a Bible study. God, let's give them opportunity. Don't do anything right now, and don't let anything happen right now. Let me try this. Let me give this a chance. And it could be the Lord will speak and say, I will not do anything until you're safe. Ooh. Can you think of someone tonight that you know that needs that safety, that chance, and that opportunity? Why don't you close your eyes and lift them to the Lord right now, and let's pray the prayer of faith with them and make them your mission this year. Almighty God. Come on, families. Come on, husbands and wives. Come on, children, with your moms and dads. Moms and dads with your children. Young people, old people, middle-aged, singles. Come on. Sunday school, come on. Come on, come on. Pastor, come on now. Hallelujah. Let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. We've got a mission, and we don't have a long time. Hallelujah. The timing is perfect. Hallelujah. God's timing is perfect. Oh, Holy Ghost, move on us. Spirit of God, stir us, shake us. Make us, Lord.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost.
Let me be somebody's Abraham and bind them with prayer.
Anointing.
Be honest with you, I wish every church had people like you.
Oh yes.
I've been to a lot of churches. I wish every church had people like you.
Jesus.
I believe this gospel would be spread a lot quicker, a lot faster in our nation, around our world. Amen. There's great people out there. There's many people better than I am. I am not saying that.
Yes, right.
But I know I pastor some folks. Your burden, your passion, your desire to see success at Landmark. And when I say success, I'm not talking about big bank accounts. I'm talking about big numbers of folks in the house of God, worshiping the Lord, spirit and truth. Your dream, your desire is the same as mine. Mine is the same as yours. We're on the same team. I love you for that. I'm just challenging all of us tonight. Let's pick up the pace, because we don't have much time. And somebody's going to be bound by your love, Jesus, and your passion, your prayers, your support, your teachings, your sharing and caring. Amen. I'm just saying, let's go get them. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, God richly bless you tonight as you're dismissed. Thank you so much for being in the house of God this evening.